If you like playing in the field of possibilities and getting your information from those who really know, Conversation at the Cutting Edge is your kind of program. Host Sandy Sedgebeer speaks with teachers, speakers, scientists, and authors that are shifting perceptions about who we are and what we're capable of. Get ready to expand your awareness and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. Here's Sandy.
Hello, and welcome to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm your host, Sandy Sedgebeer, and joining me tonight for the second time in 3 weeks is a man who has so much to teach us that I've invited him to join us on the first Tuesday of the next several months to share more of the deeply empowering and eminently practical wisdom revealed in his book, Better Than Sex, The Ecstatic Art of Awakening Coaching. Arjuna Ada is an awakening coach, writer, speaker, and author of 8 books, including the best-selling The Translucent Revolution, which was featured in O Magazine, and Better Than Sex, a member of the Transformational Leadership Council, and keynote speaker at international conferences such as the Omega Institute, Google, and the United Nations. Arjuna has trained hundreds of people to become facilitators of awakening and teaches singles and couples how to integrate awakening consciousness into intimate relationship, the secrets of which he'll be sharing with us tonight. Arjuna Ada, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be with you again.
Arjuna, awakening coaching has been described as an innovative and brilliant new way of approaching spiritual awakening, stripping our deepest and most profound longing back to its most essential roots. What would you say is our deepest longing?
Well, actually, that's a really great question. And your deepest longing and being able to say anything are not always such good bedfellows, you know. That's the whole thing, is we can easily speak about what we want. We can easily speak about things that the mind can envision. We can speak about wanting a truck or wanting more money or wanting more power. But longing is actually, in my experience, is something deeper than that, more mysterious, more... It's something that the mind cannot quite describe, but the heart cannot forget. So the way that I describe longing when we're training coaches is, think about when you're really, really, really in love, you know, when you're really, really deeply, deeply, deeply in love. And you're just counting off the days until you can see your beloved. You know, you're madly in love, and you're just counting off the days and minutes and hours until you can be in your beloved's arms again. And there's a feeling to that in your body, a feeling of yearning, of longing. Now imagine that same feeling of longing for the beloved, but you can't actually remember who you're in love with. The feeling's just as strong. You've just completely, totally blanked out on who you're in love with, but you know.
Well, it seems as though we've lost Arjuna. We're just going to go over to a commercial until we can get him back. Stay tuned.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What is the first step for you personally to finally make the shift you have been seeking? Find out right now by connecting with us on Facebook and on Twitter. My Vivid Life. Well, it's a state of being, complete well-being. Get there today with daily inspiration right to your inbox.
Are you ready to create the life of your dreams filled with joy and abundance? Imagine surrounding yourself with the world's top spiritual teachers and visionaries that will teach you their secrets to living a successful, healthy, and joyful life. Join Iyanla Van Zandt, Caroline Mace, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and over 20 more life-changing best-selling authors at this year's Celebrate Your Life Chicago event. Visit CelebrateYourLife.org for more information. That's CelebrateYourLife.org. And reserve your seat now. That's CelebrateYourLife.org.
You cannot separate who you are and what you do from how you interact with the world. Marketing was never meant to be slick and soulless. If you're looking to build your personal or business profile and platform and connect with the audience that resonates with you and your message, visit www.sandysedgebeer.com and discover what 30-plus years of applying the science of resonance in international publishing, marketing, and conscious business development can do.
Vivid Life Radio connects you with the most current, optimistic, and inspiring information on the planet. Get ready to open your mind, heal your heart, and start living your ultimate life. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for more details on our upcoming broadcast with the world's brightest minds sharing wisdom to uplift your spirit.
Well, thankfully, we've got Arjuna back with us. Arjuna, you were talking about our deepest longing.
Yeah. So, shall I continue with that?
Please, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was talking about how it's like being in love and you can't remember who you're in love with. Equally, we could say it's like being homesick. You know, you desperately want to go home. You know, that feeling, I want to go home, but you just can't remember where you live. That's what we mean by longing. And actually, that feeling of longing for something that you can't describe exactly with your mind, it is what has generated all of mysticism. It's what's generated every spiritual tradition. Every religion has been born out of that longing for something that we can't quite put into words.
Well, it's interesting that you talk about love because, you know, people do have that incredible longing for the beloved in the beginning of a relationship. But quite often, as you relate in your book, the conscious and the unconscious masculine and feminine energies that we express will get in the way of our relationships. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing is, you know, to acknowledge that we, all of us, recognize, I think more or less everybody in every tradition and culture recognizes that there is something called conscious and something called unconscious. I'm sorry, let me say that again. There is something called masculine and feminine energy. It doesn't necessarily mean a body type. There is male and female, which are body types, but there's also masculine and feminine energy, which are more like energetic types. And men have access to both, and women have access to both. So if we sum it up really briefly, masculine energy is more focused, more directional. It's more like cutting through boundaries, reaching a goal. It's centered. It's very directional. It moves forward into the future. Feminine energy in all of us is more loving, more embracing, more receptive. It's the warm embrace of this moment. Now, of course, we can both access both of those energies, but the other thing that makes it interesting is that both of those energies, masculine and feminine, actually have unconscious conditioning as well as conscious expression. Unconscious conditioning could be biological, which means you're acting run by testosterone or oxytocin or estrogen. It could be cultural, that you've been conditioned to behave as a man or a woman in a particular way due to your culture. It could be parental, and it could also be, you know, it could also be spiritual or even kind of some sort of new age philosophy that you've been influenced by. So there are many layers of conditioning which tell you what masculine and feminine energy should look like. Whenever we behave in a conditioned way, it's somehow missing something. It's missing some magic. It's missing what we call authentic or spontaneous. Masculine and feminine energy can also be expressed consciously. Masculine and feminine energy can also be expressed as a conscious gift, and that requires really stripping away the conditioning and then being able to show up with a unique blend of masculine and feminine energy, which is not only natural to you, but which is actually consciously and deliberately given as a gift.
Would you say that you know, ultimately the goal is to balance the masculine and feminine energy? And does that mean that we are expressing both at the same time, a balance of both?
Yeah.
Or is it that we know when to express each
right.
type
well,
of energy?
Well, I would say emphatically that I do not encourage people to balance masculine and feminine energy. I think it's very harmful to do that. And I'll explain why. Because a man, I mean, he's a man. He's got a penis and a flat chest. But he's also got, because he's got testicles, he creates testosterone. Testosterone gets created in a certain way, stored in a certain way, and expressed in a certain way. And that testosterone, which is natural to him, is actually very much connected with the expression of masculine energy. Women, they have about 1/30th as much testosterone as a man do. They have some, but much less. And they balance stress not through testosterone, but through oxytocin. So what it means is women actually, it's not just about conditioning and gender stereotypes. Women actually have different hormones in their body. So for somebody to try through some kind of, you know, spiritual new age conditioning to try and find exact balance of masculine and feminine energy, in my opinion, just my opinion, mind you, is actually very harmful. Because it means if a man, particularly this has happened in the last 30 years, is a reaction to macho conditioning, men have grown their hair long, learned to play the guitar, you know, smoke marijuana, a very feminine drug. The whole kind of hippie movement came out of men trying to feminize themselves. And actually, in my humble opinion, men are not happy when they become floating and free and in their feelings too much. They need a sense of direction to actually feel sane. In the same way, women in the 70s, society changed so women could do anything. They could become executives. They could become policemen. They could work on building sites. A woman was freed up from her gender stereotyping in the workplace to do almost any job she could imagine, to also be a priest. But if a woman runs too much masculine energy through her body, she gets the job done, but it's like her heart shrivels. And I work with so many women who have been conditioned to try and express more masculine energy because they want to compete in the workplace, but it's actually detrimental. So I think it's actually really great for each person to have an opportunity to find out what is the natural balance of masculine and feminine energy for me. What is the unique natural balance for me? And I've hardly met anybody for whom that's 50-50. Very, very rare. Most men, it's more like 80-20. There is some feminine energy, but it's more like 80-20. For most women, in the same way, it's the natural expression is more feminine energy. Now, we don't need to make any rules about this. If a woman feels natural in balancing masculine and feminine, then great. But what's important is that balance is natural and not imposed either by society or by tradition or equally by modern teachings. It's important that the balance is natural, where you feel comfortable in your own skin.
What techniques and practices would you use to start to bring forth conscious feminine energy and conscious masculine energy?
Right, beautiful question. So, I mean, the first thing is, you know, as you know, I train coaches. I teach a coaching method. And I think it's really good to not try and do this on your own. I don't think this is a very good self-help technique. It's better to work with somebody who can advise you objectively. But the first thing is to really find out what is natural for you, what's the natural balance, and then to see how are you expressing energy in your life. So if a woman, for example, realizes that her natural balance is maybe 80-20, 80% feminine energy, but she's working as a prosecution attorney and she's running a lot of masculine energy, then she needs practices to increase the feminine so she can be happy again. Not to increase the feminine in the courtroom, but when she gets home. So practices that increase feminine energy is anything that allows a woman to feel deeply without a story, right? So sensuality, I mean, having a shower or a bath with nice oils and putting on nice creams and putting on silky clothes when you get home and lighting candles, all of that is sensuous, increases feminine energy. Equally, to dance to music, not doing the salsa or the waltz or something, but to dance freely to energy where you can just express any feeling in rhythm with the energy, particularly if you have a wide range of music, a wide range of feelings, that's also going to increase feminine energy because it allows a woman to feel without a story. Now, there are many others too. Another remarkable study done at UCLA in the late 90s they demonstrated that when women go out to lunch together, when a group of women just go out for lunch, they don't talk about work, but they talk about feelings and relationships and sensuous, beautiful things, their oxytocin level doubles in less than an hour. Now, for a woman, for her oxytocin level to double in less than an hour means that she is dramatically balancing stress. She's balancing cortisol and adrenaline. I'm slurring my words today. She's balancing stress hormones. So that's very different for a man. When a group of men go out together, that doesn't happen at all. A man, he finds his sense of centeredness again in solitude and meditation. And incidentally, this is one very, very controversial topic, which I'm sure is going to get us a lot of bad press. But I actually question many women about whether the exclusive reliance on sitting meditation is such a good idea. I'm not saying women should never meditate, but when a woman only uses sitting meditation like Zazen or Vipassana, generally I found that a woman starts to miss something because she needs actually an element in her life which allows freedom of feeling, feeling without a story, feeling for its own sake.
That's interesting, and I'm sure that many women will really enjoy what you've said, because when women do get together, okay, you know, one of the things they talk about is women
will not enjoy it as well.
Yeah. Well, anything we can learn about each other has to be good.
Yeah. Mm. Right.
Carry on.
Well, I was just going to say it's an interesting thing, Sandy. This is, in my opinion, is one of the most charged, controversial topics we could possibly talk about. It's because, you know, women were suppressed for so long by the rules of society. So it's hard to believe, but less than 100 years ago, women could not vote. Isn't that amazing? It was 1917 women got the vote. So less than 100 years ago, it was kind of a consensus between men and women that only men had the political intelligence, had the intellectual intelligence to make political choices. That's like bizarre. In three generations, we've come a long way. So women have had to fight very hard to free themselves of gender stereotyping. So for me to stand here and say, you know, I think actually different spiritual practices are good for men and women, it's natural for women to take exception and to say, wait a minute, you know, I can meditate just the same as any other guy can. And I'm only suggesting that we give each other freedom. I'm not suggesting there's any rules. I'm suggesting to be sensitive, to really see what works for you, and not to let an old conditioning from, you know, before the 50s be replaced with another conditioning that's just a reaction. I think what's really great is that we can express huge arena of freedom.
Well, this is what your book, Better Than Sex, is all about, really, isn't it? It's about how we can certainly free ourselves from much of the conditioning we've all suffered, and how we can cultivate deeper and more fulfilling intimacy in our relationships.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things you say about relationships is that there are three possible relationships we can have to intimacy. Can you explain what they are?
Yeah, sure. The first we're quite familiar with, and it's called dependency. And it means that you develop the attitude that your well-being, your happiness, is completely tied up with the presence of another person. So that means if that other person leaves you, you're going to suffer. And because of that danger, we then tend to bend ourselves out of shape in order to conform with what we think the other person needs and wants from us. So that's called dependency. And when two people do that together, when two people are willing to bend themselves out of shape to conform with what it appears the other wants, it's called codependency. And we all know what that's like. It involves basically a lot of suppression of tendencies within you until it just explodes and everybody goes crazy, and then, you know, there's a big fight. The other form of relationship that we're all quite familiar with is the opposite of that, which is called anti-dependency, where you assert the idea that you don't need anything from anybody. You're completely self-sufficient. If you go out for dinner, you split the bill halfway through. You maintain separate apartments. You sleep over sometimes, but you're completely okay on your own. You don't need anybody else. Thank you very much. So that's a relationship very often with convenience. And, of course, you know, it frees you from the dangers of dependency but it also possibly frees you from the possibility of intimacy as well. So the third kind of relationship is what we call the deeper love, and it's what my wife Shamily and I have been teaching for about 12, 13 years now, which is the possibility to use the opportunity to be close to another person as an opportunity to share and express love that is actually your true nature, to share and express love that is actually who you really are. And so relationship actually becomes a way to exercise the muscle of love. And in a very, very unromantic way, you realize you could actually enter into this kind of practice with many different people. I mean, it does not really depend upon one soulmate. So long as you find someone more or less suitable, you could exercise the muscle of love with many people. And what happens then is the deeper love, it starts in intimate relationship, but it overflows into the rest of life. If you open the channel of love with your intimate partner, you become more loving then to your children, more loving to your parents, more loving to your community, and then more loving in the gift that you give to the world. And this is true not only of loving, it's also true of making love. If you learn how to make love with your whole body, so you really give love through your whole body in sexual intimacy, that can overflow into the rest of your life. So you can actually have the feeling of making love when you're teaching, when you're working with people, when you're painting a painting. It feels like you're making love to the world because it's the same kind of flow of generosity that starts in sexual intimacy. It overflows into intimacy with all of life.
Well, how
so right
do
now
you...
I have a feeling I'm... Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, go on.
No, it's all right.
You have a feeling.
You speak now.
How would you move someone out of dependency or anti-dependency to that state of deeper love, that place?
Yeah. Well, there are different ways to do that, depending on if you're single or if you're in relationship but you want to practice alone. Some people need to. Or if you're in a relationship and you want to practice together. I coach all three categories of people. If somebody's single, you can cultivate this energy of deeper love through specific practices. And really what you're doing is you're practicing entering into intimacy without a partner, but as an overflow of the love that you are instead of as a way to get something for yourself. So there are specific practices for this. One is to write letters to the beloved. You know, one is to write letters to the beloved who's coming into your life next, and to express everything that you have to give. Another thing which may freak some people out a little bit is to actually, it's almost like an act of religious worship where you can, you know, if you want to be in relationship with a man, you would put symbols of masculinity on an altar, like maybe the statue of Michelangelo's David or even a Shiva Lingam, and you would bow down to it and express devotion to the masculine principle, because it exercises that feeling of worship, which later can express itself as the deepest expression of love with another person. For a man, you could put symbols of the feminine. You could put there are many kind of symbols you could put of the. I used to have a picture of Dante Gabriel Rossetti's picture L'Annunzio, the Annunciation, and I used to have it on my bedroom wall before I met my wife, and I would just gaze at the picture and feel my deep love for the feminine generally, and it magnetized Shamily into my life. Now, for couples, it's very simple. There are certain principles which will cultivate this kind of love that is beyond the personal. One is deep listening, learning how to listen like the sky, learning how to listen without interrupting. Somehow, when you learn to listen deeply to another person, you become love in the process. Another principle is radical honesty, which means not just honesty about what I did last week, but honesty about exactly what I'm experiencing in this moment. Another principle is humor, is bringing humor to automatic habits so that you turn yourself into a work of art. And another is worship, is actually bowing down in a kind of religious type of worship to each other. So instead of worshiping a statue of Christ or Krishna, you're actually worshiping the person who you share the bed with. Why not? You know, you could worship a statue as a symbol of the divine. You could also worship your husband or wife as a symbol of the divine. It's working. It's been
Arjuna,
working great.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to interrupt you there.
Oh, we're out of time.
Out of time, but this topic is so fascinating, and I have so many more questions that we haven't got to. But I think that this should be we should continue this discussion
on relationships
next month.
All right. Yeah, good. Part two.
Is that good?
Good.
Good for you?
Yeah,
in the meantime,
I can't wait.
In the meantime, I think you have a video on your website, Better Than Sex, that people can watch, where you talk a little bit more about this particular topic.
Yeah, that's true. If you get the book Better Than Sex, it gives you access to a member's website, which is kind of part of buying the book, and there are videos about this, absolutely. Yeah.
Good. Okay, Arjuna, thank you very much indeed for joining me today. We will pick this up next month.
Beautiful. All the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And Better Than Sex, as Arjuna said, does contain links to a special reader's website where you can experience all the awakened coaching skills demonstrated on audio and video. You can also check out Arjuna's website at arjunaardagh.com. And Better Than Sex, The Ecstatic Art of Awakening Coaching is available on Amazon.com. That brings us to the end of this show, but Arjuna will be back with us the first Tuesday of June to continue this conversation. The theme tune for this show is from an original song called Searching by Grammy Award-winning producer, composer and musician Barry Goldstein. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thank you for joining me today. And I look forward to having your company at the same time next week. Until then, you can listen to more great shows live and in our archives here at vividlife.me.
Thank you for listening to Conversation at the Cutting Edge, where scientists, researchers, authors, and teachers working at the leading edge meet. For conversations that aim to shift your perceptions about who you are, why you're here, and what you can achieve when you open your mind, expand your awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. Join us next week, same time, with your host, Sandy Sedgbeer, for another conversation at the Cutting Edge.
Are you ready to create the life of your dreams filled with joy and abundance? Imagine surrounding yourself with the world's top spiritual teachers and visionaries that will teach you their secrets to living a successful, healthy, and joyful life. Join Iyanla Van Zandt, Caroline Mace, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and over 20 more life-changing best-selling authors at this year's Celebrate Your Life Chicago event. Visit CelebrateYourLife.org for more information. That's CelebrateYourLife.org. And reserve your seat now. That's CelebrateYourLife.org.
You cannot separate who you are and what you do from how you interact with the world. Marketing was never meant to be slick and soulless. You're looking to build your personal or business profile and platform and connect with the audience that resonates with you and your message, visit www.sandysedgebeer.com and discover what 30-plus years of applying the science of resonance in international publishing, marketing, and conscious business development can do.
Vivid Life Radio connects you with the most current, optimistic, and inspiring information on the planet. Get ready to open your mind, heal your heart, and start living your ultimate life. Go to vividlife.me, that's vividlife.me, for more details on our upcoming broadcast with the world's brightest minds sharing wisdom to uplift your spirit.